Zakko Kallier founded the Dutch bike brand Van Moof back in 2009, along with his brother Thias. The company says its mission is to reimagine how a bicycle can function in the cities of tomorrow. Its slick design subtly integrates smart technology, such as a theft defense system that includes a built-in alarm and an invisible lock. The brand is also rethinking the standard bike ownership model, with the recent launch of Van Moof Plus, a subscription service that gives users in cities worldwide exclusive access to smart and electric bikes. With a truly global following, Van Moof now has brand stores in Amsterdam, New York, San Francisco, Berlin, London, Paris, Taipei, and Tokyo. You're listening to The Entrepreneurs. Today, Taco is here to speak with Matt Alagaya about how he launched the company and how he and his team are rethinking the role bicycles play in our cities.
I'm originally an industrial design engineer, studied at Delft University. During my studies, I started my first company together with my brother. And 8 years later, me and my brother started Van Moof. The idea of Van Moof popped up, actually, we're from Amsterdam, but the idea popped up in New York. We were in New York for a week and we rented a bicycle. And I always do that. If I'm visiting a foreign city, I'm always the first thing is rent a bicycle because
so,
it's a...
So very Dutch.
Yeah, and it's a great way to explore the city and get away a little bit from the crowdy areas. When we were cycling around in New York, we noticed that it's really the most beautiful city for cycling in the world. Not many people believe that because they think it's also a little bit dangerous. But for instance, Brooklyn Bridge during the night, because during the day it's too crowded. During the night, it's crazy beautiful to cycle over Brooklyn Bridge. When me and my brother started thinking, why don't much more people cycle here? And why is it in Amsterdam everybody is cycling? And how can we as industrial designers turn New York and maybe other cities, Paris, London, Tokyo, a little bit more into Amsterdam?
That's interesting. I mean, it's quite a difficult thing for a business to do, though, without kind of city government or city officials and architects on board as well. Can you do that as industrial designers?
I completely understand what you mean. The most important thing to get more bikes in cities around the globe is creating more bicycle lanes. Yeah, I'm not in construction engineering or politics, so I focus on the bicycles and creating better bicycles to overcome the barriers that cyclists encounter in cities.
And so Van Moof, this idea, I guess, sprang up in 2008, something like that, because
yes.
You set up the company in 2009. So talk us through what things you wanted to bring to your bike that you didn't see on the market already. I mean, were there certain things that you saw, okay, look, you know, other city bikes don't have this, we need to have this in our bike?
Yeah, so Van Moof was founded in 2009. Van Moof is a bike meets tech company that has a goal to get the next billion people on bikes. And we do that by creating smart bikes and electric bikes. And our bikes recognizes their riders. They have alarms, automatic integrated lights, anti-theft tracking. And we even have a team of bike hunters that recover bikes when they are stolen. So this philosophy behind Van Moof is to get more people on bikes around the globe.
Fantastic. And so you and your brother have this idea. It kind of springs to mind in 2008.
Yeah.
When did you make the first kind of prototype of a Van Moof bike?
So we started in 2008. And that's when we started thinking, sketching, designing. And the first model was introduced in 2009. It all started with really simplistic bikes. We started with integrated lights, integrated locks, and then it slowly moved during the years to integrated anti-theft tracking, alarms, and Bluetooth connection, so you can start the bike with your smartphone. And that's where we are now, an integrated product between hardware and software merge together.
Because it's quite interesting that none of those things had been integrated, really. It's funny that, you know, you think of a bike normally and actually almost everyone still has a separate lock and a separate, you know, lighting system, two lights on it. It's funny that they're not integrated.
Yeah, we really changed the way bikes are designed. In the past, it's most producers, they weld the frames and then buy all the parts. What we did is restart from the beginning and completely designed all the parts too. And therefore, we can come to a real integrated product where all the parts work together to create one piece of bike. Yeah.
And the company was set up in 2009 and your first product was sort of launched then. Did it immediately, you know, capture people's imagination? Did you immediately see that there was demand for this bike?
The cool thing is that you really see a global trend now that cities around the globe are rediscovering the benefits of cycling. I mean, in London, there's actually willing to become the global cycling city of the world. Paris even wants to top that. In New York, you see the amount of cyclists rising every year. It's a global movement now to getting more bikes into cities. And we believe that in the next years, this revolution will be even going faster because of the electric bikes. Because in Amsterdam, 55% of all the commutes are by bike. But in London, Paris and New York, we will never achieve that because the cities are too big, too hilly, and in the case of Paris and New York, also a little bit too warm in the summer. So if you really want to ride a bike to your work, you'll arrive all sweaty. So electric bikes overcome that issue. And therefore, we believe that electric bikes will turn those big cities a little bit into Amsterdam. And in 25 years, I believe we will have as much bikes on the streets in Paris, London and Tokyo as in Amsterdam.
That's a bold claim. I mean, we just did a story in the magazine about Groningen, yeah, in the Netherlands, which is kind of your model cycle city. It's like, I think, 2/3 of journeys made every day are by bike. And I think London's is something like 2%. So we've got a long way to go if we're going to become a Dutch city here. But that's you think, what the kind of future holds for bigger cities like New York, Paris, London?
I'm completely sure about this. I mean, the last decades, more and more people are moving into the cities. And I do not understand why people still accept that cars overtake those cities. If people would knew the amount of pollution we are breathing now. So if everybody is moving to the cities, why not turn the cities into even better places with clean air and not all those loud and noisy cars on the street? I'm completely sure that more bikes will move into these cities, and electric bikes will definitely accelerate that change.
As an entrepreneur, you sound like someone who's got a very clear mission in your head. Do you find you work quite well now with city planners and mayors and people? I mean, is it part of your business now to actually work with other stakeholders in city life?
I would love to, but it takes so much time. I mean, I would have to do that in every single city. And as an entrepreneur, I have to focus on what we are good at, and that's creating and redesigning bicycles. And we'll leave the politics to other people.
But watch them quite closely and quite keenly, I imagine.
Of course. And if we can support them somehow, we always do that. But it just takes so much time, and yeah, we don't have that. But there are lots and lots of enthusiastic, creative people who really paved the way for the cyclist.
And now talk us through how the company has grown. So we mentioned that you set the company up in 2009 with the first product. What's happened over the last 9 years?
It's been a crazy ride. And we are doing crazy stuff because we are redesigning the entire industry. We own the entire chain. So from the design of the parts and the production of the parts to the assembly and then the shipping to the globe. But we also do the sales ourselves. So we sell all the bikes directly to our riders. We do that via online, of course, but also in our own brand stores. We have brand stores in San Francisco, New York, London, Amsterdam, Berlin, Taipei and Tokyo, and hopefully next month in Paris too. So that's the company we started. Me and my brother started alone with the two of us, and now we have like 110 people and 60,000 bikes riding around. For us, this is still the beginning, because we believe that this brand will really turn into in the number one global brand for urban commuting. So we're just at the beginning of the journey, but already a lot of has happened.
You mentioned on the production side that you own all of the production chain and the supply chain, and you're kind of controlling every part of it. How do you manage that? Because I know lots of the other bike brands, they have their frames made in Taiwan, say, because it's cheaper. So how does it work for you on a business perspective?
I think 99% of all bicycle frames are welded in China. Actually, most of those factories are owned by Taiwanese companies. So 3 years after we founded the company, so in 2011, my brother moved to Taiwan, because that's at the moment the cycling capital, production capital for bikes in the world. So he moved to Taipei to set up our own design engineering firm there. So my brother runs our firm in Taipei, and I run the Amsterdam and American, European and American offices. The frames are welded in bends a bit, some in China, some in Taiwan. Then the parts come from all over the globe, and all the European bikes are assembled in Utrecht, close to Amsterdam. And the American bikes and the Japanese bikes are assembled in Taiwan.
One thing that I wanted to talk about is the fact that last summer you had the Electrified X, I believe it's called.
Yeah.
And you tested that in Tokyo. What was the response to that last summer, and what's the kind of future for the Electrified X?
So last year we introduced the Electrified X in Japan, which was really exciting for us as entrepreneurs, because Japan is the most difficult market in the world to enter, I believe. So we learned a lot, and the goal when we went to Japan was not only to bring our bikes to Japan, but also bring a little bit of the Japanese culture inside our brand. We love the simplicity of Japan and the perfection they have in consumer retail, in selling stuff and packaging. It's all perfect, and we want to bring a little bit of Japan into the Vamove brand too. We quite succeeded in that. I mean, it went really well in Tokyo, and it made us opening. We moved the brand store to a bigger location now. Yeah, it's going quite well. So the Model X, we introduced in Japan last year. We announced that we are also taking that model now to the American and European market.
Has the American market been, I mean, has it been relatively easy to enter that market? Which have been the kind of the simplest markets to enter and immediately find an audience and people who are going to buy the bikes?
Yeah, American was definitely the most easy because our bikes look a little bit American. I mean, it's aluminium, everybody's integrated, it's robust, tough design. So when I ride it on a Vamove in New York, everybody is like, where do you get it from? So America's definitely the most easy. Also because, especially New York, it's a really big city, really hilly. So the electric bikes are like really useful there, and it's so much faster. I could get from Central Park to Brooklyn in 12 minutes during traffic. Well, I think in a car it takes you at least 45 minutes. So
and San Francisco as well. San Francisco with its enormous hills, that must be another great market.
Yeah, San Francisco is really a beautiful city for cycling too, but also really tough. Our bikes could really fit San Francisco too.
You're here in London. Tell me what's happening in London. What's your, I guess, the next steps here for this market?
I see. So we opened our brand store here 2 weeks ago. I think London is one of the toughest markets there is now. I mean, I'm used to cycling in Amsterdam, but in Paris and New York and San Francisco, Tokyo, I feel just as safe as riding around in Amsterdam. I must confess that London sometimes really scares me. It really has a lot to do for commuting by bike here.
That's interesting. I would have thought that London is better than New York for commuting by bike, but you think it's worse in terms of infrastructure and planning.
Yes, I do, but it's hard to say because it's also because of left side driving, which makes it very chaotic for me as a foreigner. So that's hard to say. I feel that in New York, I have more space for my bike to move around. I feel less secure in London than in New York.
And let's look at the your retail spaces now, because it sounds like you've been really on a drive quite recently to open lots of new stores. You said the San Francisco one is relatively new, London as well, and you're opening Paris as well fairly soon. Talk us through what the retail strategy is. I mean, are you on an expansion sort of push at the minute?
Yeah, the company is growing very fast now. We're doubling every year. For us, it's much more than retail. It's we internally we call it embassies. So for us, it's a point to get in contact with the local brand. If you only sell online bikes online in the UK, you never really get in touch with your consumers. And the people in our store in London are there to connect with locals, to get to know about British cycling culture, to see if we have to adjust our bikes. For instance, so we have an integrated speaker in the bike. So when you touch a button, it's like it's the bell. And in Amsterdam, it works pretty well. But I found out I was riding my bike around in London this morning that people don't react on this specific sound. I do believe that it sounds a little bit too much like when trucks ride backwards. So people don't react on the sound. So I learned already this morning that we have to, our sound engineers have to change the sound of the bell for the British market. It's just a small example, but yeah, that's what you learn from being in contact with the local market.
That's so interesting. I didn't know that you had bells also sort of integrated into the bikes. There must be a lot of things then that you take to another market and you find actually we need to tweak this slightly because it doesn't quite work for this market.
Exactly. That's how the X bike appeared, because most people in Tokyo take their bikes inside and they also have less space inside. So we designed a bike with a little bit smaller wheels that is a little bit smaller, but does has the same riding position, so even people, big people, can ride it. But that's what we learned from the Tokyo market, and now we bring it back to Europe. With the theft issue we really learned from Amsterdam. Theft issue for us is much bigger than theft alone. We believe it's the number one reason that people don't invest in a proper bike. That problem is the biggest in Amsterdam, but it does, bike theft is also a big issue in London, Paris, New York. So what happens is people are afraid of their bike being stolen, and that's why they buy, we call it disposable bikes, like real crappy bikes or old secondhand bikes. And we believe that if we solve bike theft, people will dare to invest a little bit more in a bike, and they will definitely ride more often, and they will ride more. All these disposable bikes won't be thrown away. So it's an environmental issue too. So if we can solve bike theft, we believe that really is the next step into getting more commuters on the streets. How do we solve bike theft? That's the next question, maybe.
Absolutely, yeah. What is the anti-theft system?
It's a system now with three steps. So the bikes have an integrated speaker. They have an integrated 2G connection and a positioning system. So imagine you're a thief and you want to steal this new Vermove bike. When you touch it, a small sound appears. It's like more like the growling of a cat. It warns the thief that, hey, I'm armed. Then if the thief keeps messing around with the bike, then a louder alarm sounds and the user will get a pop-up message in his Vermove app. So that's the second step. Then the third step, if the thief still continues, we don't believe that will happen a lot, but if it's still, then the tracking system starts. And so the bike transmits its position to our servers. And then the fourth step is that we have a global team of bike hunters, and they retrieve stolen bikes around the globe. And they've become so good in it that we even guarantee it now. So if your bike gets stolen, our bike hunters have two weeks to find it back. If they can't find it back, you will get a new bike.
You have bike hunters in each of the cities that you operate in?
Yeah, definitely. And if they have to, they even go out of the cities. We had bike hunters going to Casablanca. We had bike hunters going to Romania. Before I tell this, by the way, I must say that 99% of the bikes stays in their own city, even their own neighborhood, when it's stolen. So maybe it's most of the time it's much easier for us to...
Most of the time it isn't Casablanca.
Exactly. But this was like a gang, I believe. It was four bikes were stolen in the same week in Paris. And all of the four went from Paris to Molenbeek in Brussels, and then right away to Casablanca. So we went to Molenbeek, found the transport line. We went to Casablanca, found a warehouse with 4,000 stolen European bikes. And it was a great trip.
That's kind of amazing. But do you have to work with the local police or something? You can't just be
in
rocking
Europe,
up to a warehouse like
I
that.
I must say, in Europe, we do. We never retrieve the bikes. I mean, we locate the bikes and then we call the police. In Morocco, we didn't, because I love Morocco. I've been there a lot, but I didn't want to hand the thief over to the police. So we solved it on our own way.
Okay, well, yeah. I won't ask any more questions about that.
No, it's very polite. The thief helped us. The guy who owned it, he didn't steal it. He bought it and he helped us to show the warehouse. And that's what we show to the rest of the world. And that's where we left it to others to see if they want to act or not.
That's quite an amazing service to provide for your buyers, I must say. Talk us through now what the future of the brand is, what your next steps for the business are. I mean, are we looking at further expansion in Europe and the US and Asia in the next few months, years?
For us, It just got started because now we are growing. It gives us the opportunity to hire even more designers and engineers and software engineers to really merge hardware and software into better bicycles. So we want to continue on becoming better in anti-theft protection, in making our bikes even more simplistic, minimalistic, lighter, and hopefully more affordable. Therefore, we also introduced the subscriptions model because we want to prove that bikes are a really good investment. So now we are offering them for a monthly fee. So you only have to pay £19 per month, for £18 per month. And therefore, you get the bike, maintenance, and the anti-theft guarantee, everything integrated. And the perk that if you are in a city around the globe where we have a brand store, you can borrow a bike for free. So if you are on a holiday in Paris or Amsterdam, you're able to ride the same type of bike as you have in your hometown.
This kind of leads on to my next question, which is about bike sharing. I mean, obviously, in lots of cities around the world now, they have bike sharing schemes that are they tend to be sponsored by a bank in the yeah. capital. Do you see them as competitors at all? I mean, in the sort of world of automotive, you see car brands that are slightly worried about the idea that actually ownership of cars is sort of diminishing and sharing of cars is becoming much more popular. Is that something that the bike world needs to be worried about? Are you concerned that actually people won't be wanting to buy a very expensive bike in future? They might just want to share it.
No, absolutely not. I love bike sharing. I believe it's really important to get a city to get used to bikes. Really what you saw in New York when bike sharing popped up, cars got used to cyclists, people discovered cycling. So bike sharing is really good to get bikes back in the city. And I believe I'm completely convinced that if people discover cycling again via bike sharing, in the end, they will buy or subscribe to their own bike because yeah, that's always a little bit more convenient when your own bike is right at the place where you left it. So I do believe in a combination of the two, and I think the two can really strengthen each other. In Amsterdam, it all started with bike sharing. I mean, in the 70s, we had the white bicycle plan, which was just people painting bikes white and dropping them on the street and everybody could use them. And that's how when the city started realizing, hey, bikes are in fact a good alternative to the underground and to cars. And what can we do to get more of those bikes in the city? And that's when they invented the separated bike lanes, which is, after all, the most important step to get more bikes in the city.
You started this interview by talking about your mission to get 1 billion people back on their bikes.
Yeah.
How close do you think we are to that? Are you confident that we'll be there by 2030? And are you going to keep going with Van Moof until you get to that stage?
Let me be clear. I don't want all those billion on Vamoose.
That would be nice.
That would be nice. But I want 1 billion people extra on bikes in the cities. And I believe it's now 2020 almost. It will take another 20 to 25 years. That's what it took Amsterdam too. It's not that there have always been bikes in Amsterdam. It started all in the 70s and the 80s when a group of people started protesting to get the cars out and more bikes in. And it took Amsterdam 25 years to reinvent the cities to make it more useful for bikes and for pedestrians. Let's not forget that. So it will take Paris, Tokyo, London and San Francisco and New York also 25 years. But we will go there, I'm pretty sure.
And for anyone who's looking to buy an electrified X or any other model, for instance, you have these shops in each of those cities you just mentioned. And how much do these retail for? What kind of price point are we looking at?
Yeah, so we have the smart bike, which is around £900 or £18 per month. And we have the electric bikes, which the integrated batteries and motors, everything is integrated. And those start at £2,298.
That's pretty reasonable for an electric bike. I know they go a lot higher than that.
That's true. Yeah, when we tried to create an electric bike that is really useful for in the city, so it's as robust and almost as light as a traditional bike, we believe that it shouldn't be higher than this amount.
As part of the sort of retail expansion, have you had to bring in outside investment for that, or has it all been sort of organic growth through the business?
Yeah, so it is the second company me and my brother founded. So the first 7 years, we work with the cash flow that our first company generated. And last year, the company started growing too fast, so we had to get an investment. So we have a Dutch investment fund now with a small share in our company. And next to that, we did a crowdfunding campaign in Holland. So we wanted both to have a traditional investor to make us more professional on the corporate side, and we wanted also to give customers, our riders, to give the opportunity to invest too. So we did a crowdfunding in combination with an investment round.
And I'm afraid that's all the time we have for on today's show. Thanks very much to Taco Callier, who cycled over to our studio to tell us the story of Van Moof. Thanks to Matt Alagaya and to Kieran Matthew Banerjee, who edited and mixed this show. The show was produced by me, Daniel Bage. The Entrepreneurs will be back at the same time next week. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.